With the state of today's economy, it is more important than ever to invest in products that last for years to come. As the seasons shift and get cooler, make sure your closet is stocked with durable layers that stand the test of time from American Giant. American Giant's clothes work harder and are wearable season after season. Their greatest hoodie ever made is made of the highest quality materials that are cut and sewn right here in the United States. So you're investing right back into your local community. Choosing American Giant means taking a stand for American manufacturing and hardworking Americans, something other mega corporations don't care about. From fleece to knit, all in a range of colors for versatile daily wear, American Giant delivers everyday pieces designed for everyday life. Feel the difference of quality made-to-last clothes from American Giant. Get 20% off your first order with code STAPLE20 at American-Giant.com. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com with code STAPLE20.
Hey guys, I love having repeat guests on, and this will be Charles Rosnay's third appearance on the show. I'm excited about this. Charles, so obviously you're an author. You've put out a couple of list type books. The last time we had you on, you had just came out with your Beatles book, which everybody knows is near and dear to my heart. I want to talk about that in a little bit, but the main reason I've got you on today, it's because you have got an awesome horror convention going on this weekend.
Yeah.
And I want to make sure that people have a chance to get out and check this thing out if they haven't heard about it. Cause I know I was unaware of it, which I don't know how it escaped me, but it's the 11th and 12th in Salem, Massachusetts. It's going to be a hell of a situation. Tell everybody what you got going on there and some of the people that I guess you're going to have there.
Oh, so exciting. Yeah, this Saturday and Sunday, November 11th and 12th, it's Salem Paranormal and Horror Convention, the second one we're doing at Salem State University South Campus. It's a great location because it's a huge facility with plenty of free parking, which is very rare in Salem. We had one last year, and we got our, you know, feet wet, a lot of paranormal guests, a few horror, you know, guests that were, you know, not very distantly horror. But this year, along with all the paranormal guests, we got two amazing guests from Friday the 13th Part 2. We got Tara Buckman, who was the mom in Silent Night, Deadly Night. She was in Extro. She was in, oh my gosh, she's one of the two driving babes from Cannonball Run, her and Adrian Barbeau.
Oh, yeah.
So exciting because this is only her second or third convention appearance, but it's only her first one in the New England area. So that's really exciting. We're just so happy to have Tara Buckman. And we also have the amazing Kreskin, the OG of, you know, mentalists. When people say, you know, who do you think of first when you talk of paranormal? Well, you always, you know, you got to go to the Warrens. When you think of magic, you think of Houdini. When I think of mentalism and mind reading and the guy who, you know, brought that to the entertainment world and Johnny Carson and The Late Show, it's the amazing Kreskin. And the guy's still around. He's one of our guests, and we're just so excited that he's one of the headliners because he's also, when the convention is each day from 11 to 6, at night he's doing a legend, we're calling it a legacy performance of his classic mentalism right there. So it was very exciting stuff going on.
I was excited when I saw his name on there, and I was like, you got to be kidding me. The amazing Kreskin is going to be there. That's pretty awesome.
Brought back a lot of memories, right?
It sure did.
He influenced Carson to do that Carmack, the amazing Carmack, or whatever Carson used to do. Kreskin would go on those shows and read people's minds and blow people away. His thing, and you'll get a kick out of this, is he gets an honorarium. He gets paid. And you give him, it has to be a check in a sealed envelope. And the night or day before he leaves, you hide it in that room. And he, through telepathic powers, will find where it's hidden. And if he doesn't find it, he does not get paid. And you want to know something, Jerry? He's never not gotten paid.
That's amazing.
I know, right? It's crazy.
All right. So you've got your hand in a couple of these things. You've done three of these conventions in Connecticut. This is the second one in Salem now. And let's just be honest. Salem is a place that, I mean, you just want to come to Salem, even if there's nothing going on. But to be able to go there and do a convention, I mean, that's awesome.
I'm glad you mentioned that. You know, you always want to, you think once in your life, you want to go to Times Square, you know, when the ball drops for New Year's. And once you've done it, okay, I've done it. I don't need to do it again. For Salem, people go back all the time because there's so much of a lure there and so many things to do. But it's not easy going during Halloween. I got to tell you, you know, with hundreds of thousands of people in the city, you're waiting hours to get into a restaurant. There's nowhere to park. Hotel rooms are, you know, triple and four times the cost. So having it a few weeks after Halloween, November 11th and 12th, people have literally the keys to the city. They come to the convention. And they can come a day earlier, stay a day later. They can explore Salem and all its beauty and all its witchcraft and all its great stuff. And it's a time when they're not over deluged with other people in the city. So it's really the perfect time for the convention. And people just love that we do it then.
So let me ask you this. You do these tours. Obviously, you do the Beatle tour over in Liverpool every year. But you also, we've talked about this a couple of times, you do these tours to Dracula's castle and all this stuff. So I don't think I've ever asked you how you get started in doing something like that. So because that's in Romania, right? Or am I off on that?
That's the real deal. Transylvania is in Romania. We go to Bucharest and Brasov and Sighișoara and all the places connected with the Dracula novel, plus the history of Vlad the Impaler, Vlad Tepes. Eastern Europe, not easy. You know, when we first started 25 years ago, we needed to find a local representative there who understood what we wanted, because there were tons of travel agents. And if you wanted, you can do a tour of Romania and visit the countryside and maybe spend one day with a hint of the Dracula legend. But we wanted a whole week of it. We wanted everything to revolve around Vlad and Dracula. So we had to find this tour company, which got it. And for 12 years, I went on the tour. I hosted it. I showed them what needed to be done. First, they had the historic stuff down. I mean, there was no problem with that. But they had to know that people coming over, we're monster people. We're monster kids and horror fans. They had to understand where I was coming from. So they, once they understood that and really, really adapted their, it was a custom tour just for us. They were able to take it over. So I was able to do my Halloween business here back home, produce all the conventions, do all the things I do here. And they were able to continue having it. So this was our 25th year of bringing guests over to Transylvania. And I think some things were affected by COVID. I think some new places were added, some places that were open, closed, you know, a whole mix of different variances. But, you know, you're going to Eastern Europe, you know, I don't want to say third world country, but you're going to a place that, you know, it's got a different currency, it's got a different language, it's got a different mindset and a different menu every night. So people definitely have an adventure when they go on the trip, but it's amazing. And people just come back, you know, for so many years loving it. I'm curious to hear what this year's crew said, because there was the smallest group ever because we skipped a few years for COVID and now it's bouncing back. So looking forward to doing future trips and hopefully going on another one. I miss it so badly. I love going on the Transylvania tours.
Now, obviously, like I said, I touched on this earlier. We won't spend a lot of time on it, but you do something similar where you go over to Liverpool every year where they have Beatles Week. And yes. That's one that I swear before it's over with, me and Tracy are going on, because that's a dream come true to me.
It's the ultimate, yeah.
What month of the year does that take place?
Yeah, we've been doing that one 40 years. And that one we do to coincide with Beatle Week. There's Beatle Week in Liverpool the end of August. It's their bank holiday, which is equivalent to our Labor Day or Memorial Day. So they have extended holiday. It's when the weather is the most beautiful. And it's when every club on every corner has got a Beatle band. And there's concerts and events and conventions. It's just nonstop. It's 24/7 Beatles for 10 days. We go to London first, we go to Abbey Road, go to the Apple building. We do all the homes and every possible site in London, including A Hard Day's Night and Help and all the movie sites. And then we go to Henley, which was Harrison's home, on the way to Liverpool, where we spend an entire week during Beatle Week there. And it's done in association with the Cavern Club and a company called Cavern City Tours. We've been partners for 40 years, bringing fans over. And last year was... not last year, this past August was the biggest group we've had in many years. And we actually did a recording session at Abbey Road Studios. And I think next year is going to be big too, because we've got a new Beatles song out and people are just, you know, clamoring for more Beatles stuff. So that's great. It's a new shot in the arm for the whole, you know, Beatles fans and the Beatles universe.
Well, with that being said,
yes,
the new Beatles song, you are, in the United States, you
are.
I think so. It seems like I heard something about it, but you are kind of a Beatles authority in the United States. I mean, you've been doing this for a long time, and you know everything there is to know about the Beatles. What was your first reaction to the song?
So my first reaction was a pre-reaction. It was, all right, you know, I know the demo. I can see why it wasn't put out in the 90s when they did an anthology or whatever the anthology was. And I thought, all right, I'll trust them to do something magical. And they did. And I think that if someone isn't a purist and doesn't love, you know, I'm one of these, if you give me a bootleg with 7 seconds of an outtake, I'm like, you know, I'm salivating over it.
Right.
But if you're not that insane, what I suggest is, listen to the song as the video. Watch the YouTube or wherever you can see the video of it, because it's a rare scenario where the video with the song gives it a different life altogether. I think the song is good. I mean, I love the song. To me, it's great. But with the video, it's just another dimension and another planet of amazingness. And that's what my takeaway of it is, an amazing video with Peter Jackson. Just come on. Like, this guy has done so much amazing things for Beatle fans, you know, forgets his other cinematography stuff, what he's done, you know, for Beatle fans with Get Back and with Paul's concert. And now this is just heads and tails about anything we could have ever expected.
You're 100% correct. Watching the video, it's hard not to become emotional.
Yes.
It's just one of those that when you see the old mixed with the new and then the song being now and then, it just, everything just blends together. And you're right, it's a perfect mixture that gives it a whole life of its own.
Yeah. And you know, I've been watching a lot of lately is these reaction videos. It's people it's me you too. Look at. And you say, this person has never heard a Beatles song. They have no clue. They're going to think it's so lame. And they're crying too. They're loving it. I haven't seen a negative, you know, reaction video. And that's very surprising. You know, I go through those. I like to see them listening to the Monkees for the first time, or the Turtles Happy Together, or hearing She Loves You for the first time. But the reactions to Now and Then have been just off the wall.
Yeah, you know, I just discovered reaction videos probably about 3 years ago.
Yeah.
And it's just, I love them. And I'll get on a kick to where whatever song I choose, I'll go and watch like 8 or 9 different reaction videos just because I want to see how people respond to it. And you know, it's, and some of them are funny. Like, I saw one of the Chris Cornell's version of Nothing Compares to You. And there was somebody, she was very young. She had no clue that this was a cover 3 times, you know, already. And she was like, I don't know who this girl is he's singing about, but she sure is lucky. And she obviously means the world to, you know, she don't know that it's a song that Prince had done, you know, 30 years before or whatever, 35 years. And the Sinead O'Connor cover. But it was just funny to hear the reactions on some of these people. But yeah.
Yeah,
I love the new song. I think it. I'll be honest with you. I knew the demo, and I liked the demo. And they cut part of John's demo out, and decided not to use that for this one, which I thought was a wise choice. I thought that part was a little pitchy, and I saw a lot of people say, well, why didn't he use that part? I wish they would have, but it didn't fit. It doesn't fit. It wouldn't have the same feel as what it does now.
They made all the right calls. And it wasn't just, you know, Peter himself you know, not didn't make the call. Paul and Ringo, you know, they it was George's son and Sean Lent, you know, everyone had to get, you know, to approve it. And everyone had a little input in it. And I think it's you know, it's a beautiful piece. And I think it'll is it Hey Jude? Is anything Hey Jude? You know, I want to hold your hand. No, it doesn't have to be. It has its own piece of pie in this. In this big Beatles, you know, legacy, and it's a nice possibly ending. I don't know if it is the final one, because if we're hearing this, we could, you know, hear "Grow Old with Me" or some other things done in a similar vein, and why not? But right now, you know what? Every radio station played it at the same time, which was unheard of. It went number one already, which is amazing. I got to do a lot of cool TV interviews and, you know, talk about it. And it's rejuvenated, you know, a lot of the people who were fans and then forgot about it and back in the fold. So it's a good thing.
Where do you put that with the other two that they did on Anthology with Real Love and Free as a Bird? Where do you put this one compared with those two?
That's an interesting. No one's asked me that. So when Free as a Bird came out, I liked it, but I thought I don't know what I expected. I think I expected a mop top song. I think I expected something more Fab Four-y, and it came out and it was cool. You know, it was, I've grown to love that. I mean, that has grown on me so that it's, you know, probably in my top 50. I almost said top 10, but no way.
Well, that still says something though. Top 50 still says something,
right? So Free as a Bird, you know, is just, I love it. And I love the video of that. Real Love, probably third. And now and then is probably in the middle for now. So if I have to, you know, put them in an order, I'm watching the video and listening to Now and Then more than anything. And it may jump up ahead, but it's Free as a Bird, Now and Then, followed by Real Love.
Yeah, and I'll probably go to the exact opposite. I think I'd put Now and Then, Real Love, and then Free as a Bird last. But I think they're all very close. It's one that I could change my mind on tomorrow. So
they're very close. I totally agree with that. Yeah.
All right, let's talk about your books real quick. You got two list books out. One of them based on horror. One of them based on the Beatles. Tell everybody briefly about those two.
Well, the first book was the Book of Top 10 Horror Lists, where 100 celebrities gave me literally lists with reasons why, because just lists would have been pretty boring. And, you know, we'd talk about William Shatner and Ed Asner and one of the Munsters and one of the Beatles and one of the Monkees. You know, you look down it's like a who's who of pop culture celebrities, and their lists are just so great. And the book's done really well, and it was published by Bear Manor Media. And you can find it on Amazon with all my books. But if you want a signed copy, Book of Top 10, the number 10, not T-E-N, Book of Top 10 Horrorlists.com. And that gave birth to the Book of Top 10 Beatles Lists, which is very similar. Not 100, but 64 celebrities. I had to do the number 64.
Of course.
That's the magical Beatles number. And a lot of the people who, you know, helped me with that first horror book, I went back to the well, John Lennon's sister, Pete Best, Butch Patrick, Eddie Munster, but a lot of people who I never thought were going to give me lists gave me amazing lists, like Tommy James and the Shondells, Dick Cavett, Tommy Chong, Cheech and Chong. So the Book of Top 10 Beatles Lists, also on Amazon, or the website bookoftop10beatleslists.com. And then in between, I sneaked out a really great book, which is doing so well at library appearances and at all these paranormal conventions. And that's True Ghost Stories of Connecticut, where the criteria was very simple. It was my chapters and chapters from individuals who experienced unexplained paranormal occurrences. And I wanted two things. I wanted A, that it have something to do with Connecticut, my home state, and B, that it be true. And so that book's also on Amazon, but the website for that one is paranormalconnecticut.com. And I'm going to have a ton of those this weekend at the, you know, Salem Paranormal and Horror Convention, and hopefully sign a bunch for the people who come.
So everything goes full circle. Let's finish with the 2023 Salem Paranormal and Horror Convention. How do people find out more, find out who all is going to be there, and get tickets? Yes.
All the guests are listed on the website, as is a ticket link. and a little photo of me with my bio. It's salemparacon.org, www.salem, Salem, like the town, para, short for paranormal, and then con for convention, www.salemparacon.org. All the information's on there as to how to get tickets, where it's located, the address. Tickets are only $19.99. And,
that's a bargain.
Covers the whole day. If people want, they can come see Kreskin at night. He's doing a legacy show for only 40 people in a classroom. Tickets for that are also $19.99. And then there's options for VIP, $25 at the door, plenty of room at this place, not just for attendees and visiting the vendors. Amazing assortment of, you name it, horror merch, readers, psychics, paranormal stuff, you name it, it'll be there. And plus people get to meet all these, you know, horror stars and get their autographs and take pictures with them in a relaxed one-on-one scenario. There's not going to be lines of thousands of people where people have to wait 2-3 hours to get to the guests. Very accessible, well laid out, and everything's together. You can't, if you're getting an autograph and all of a sudden someone's on stage, you don't have to run to another room to see it. Everything is all on the same room, including the guest speakers, including the vendors, and including the guests. That's how all my shows that way. And I think I love it that way, and I hope the people do as well.
Awesome. Charles, as usual, it's a pleasure. I could talk Beatles with you all day long, but I don't think anybody wants to hear me do that. So
we covered a lot, and I look forward to, you know, us getting together one of these days. We keep saying we will, and I'm sure we will, hopefully on a tour or at a convention. But I look forward to seeing all the people who stopped by this weekend at the Salem Paracon in Salem State University.
Awesome. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Jerry. Really appreciate it.